Good afternoon and welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Scott Greeson. I'm the director of Friends of the Eel River. The Eco News Report is an exclusive feature of KHSU, brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, the Eco News. And don't forget, you can find this show and other KHSU public affairs shows on the audio archives page at khsu.org. This week, I'm talking with Don Allen. Don's the director of the Natural Resources Services Division of RCAA, the Redwood Community Action Agency. We're going to be talking about some of the RCAA's current projects of particular interest to Humboldt County trail users and fish enthusiasts, including the new Hixari Trail, some developments on the Waterfront Trail, and a project at Martin Slough. Welcome, Don. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so maybe you could start by telling people a little bit about what you do at RCAA, what RCAA is, and especially the Natural Resources Services Division.
Yeah, I am the director of the Natural Resources Services Division, and we are one of 8 divisions at RCAA.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of a octopus agency, 8 arms, and fairly diverse. A lot of the programs are in social services and weatherization and housing assistance, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Natural Resources Division was formed in 1983, and it was really formed to provide training and work opportunities to people in natural resources, doing watershed restoration, although our early focus was a lot on fisheries.
Mm-hmm.
It included forest improvement and really trying to put people to work doing natural resources restoration.
It seems like we're moving to a place where trails are becoming an increasingly important focus for the public. Is that the case for RCAA as well?
Yeah, trails have always been a part of our program. Even going back to 1983, one of the first projects that I worked for RCAA on was a project in Blue Lake to build a small trail along Blue Lake Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a lot of kids who were going to Blue Lake School and they were having to walk along Blue Lake Boulevard where, you know, logging trucks were going up and down. There was a lot of traffic. And we saw an opportunity there to build a small trail off of Blue Lake Boulevard, and we put in a small bridge across a creek, and we had another opportunity downtown in Blue Lake to put in a bridge that would connect either side of town across Powers Creek so that they didn't have to either walk downtown or go down to Blue Lake Boulevard. So really starting in 1983, trails have been a big part of it. It was a little harder back then to get funding for trails, but over the years, you know, with the county leading and RCAA helping the county, we got involved with the California Coastal Trail, specifically the Hammond Trail. And, you know, probably in about 1988, we started scoping out the extension of the Hammond Trail northward, starting with the piece that we called the Knox Cove piece. And then over the years, we've extended that all the way up to now where it pretty much goes to the north end of Clam Beach and almost to the Little River.
Well, hopefully we'll get back to the Hammond Trail and its extension. But I want to talk a little bit more about funding. How are your trails projects funded? Where does the money come from?
It's pretty much grant funded. There's a number of different funding options that we've had. Most recently, we've been working with funding from the River Parkways Program. That's run by the California Natural Resources Agency, and it's a department within the agency called the River Parkways Program. And they funded some of the work that we did on the Hammond Trail, and they're funding the work that we're currently doing on the Hixari Trail or the Elk River Access Trail. The Coastal Conservancy has also been a major funder of a lot of our projects. And then there's some other funding like the Caltrans EAM programs, Environmental Enhancement Mitigation Program funding that we've used over the years. So it's really been a combination of funding.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Eco News Report. I'm Scott Greeson with Friends of the Eel River. I'm talking with Don Allen, Director of the Natural Resources Services Division at the Redwood Community Action Agency. Don, we were talking a little bit about trails. As you go looking for funding, you must talk somewhat about sort of the balance of the public demand for trails and the benefits of trails. How do you describe those?
Well, the demand is increasing all the time. You know, we see that, especially between Arcata and Eureka. We've talked a lot about the Arcata-Eureka corridor. And, you know, there's the Annie Mary Rail from Arcata to Blue Lake following the old Annie Mary Railroad mm-hmm. line. And, you know, just like with the Hammond Trail, we've seen that when people discover those trails, there's just a tremendous response to using them. So one feeds off the other. You know, we build it and they come. On the other hand, people, when they start using these trails, they see that there's gaps in them.
Mm-hmm.
For a number of years, we had what we called the hole in the Hammond. It was kind of an odd situation where we had to build pieces on either side of the middle of the trail in the heart of McKinleyville. And when we finally connected that up, we had a continuous trail basically going from the Mad River pretty much up to the Little River.
And then what kind of benefits benefits do people see from having trails as part of their community?
Well, there's a number of benefits. You know, we have adopted the term active living for one of our programs because we realized that what we were doing was more than just trails. And active living really describes kind of a lifestyle where you incorporate your exercise into your daily life. So, you know, there's bicycle commuting. And, you know, as a kid, I used to ride my bike everywhere around my town. I lived in a small town and, you know, I was just a natural. It's a lot quicker than walking. We're too young to drive.
Right.
And hiking too, you know, for people who want to walk. So it's a really good way to get around. It's really a social equity issue also because it's the cheapest form of transportation there is. You know, you hop on a bike, you walk, that basically, you know, there's no fuel cost involved, plus you're getting exercise. So both of those things, I think, combine together the practical utility of trails just to get around your community. And, you know, as the awareness has grown over the obesity problem and just our lifestyles getting more sedentary and the need to be more active, trails have really become popular for just getting out and getting around the community and getting that exercise.
Mm-hmm. So we've got cause for real celebration this week. RCAA has co-hosted an event to mark the opening of the Elk River Access and the Hixsari Trail. Tell folks about that. I'm not sure I've even heard of the Hixsari Trail before this.
Yeah, you know, this goes back a few years, back to probably the late 90s, 98, 99, and we were working on the Bay Trails feasibility analysis, looking for opportunities around Humboldt Bay for trails, and a work-study student who was working for us, Nathaniel Kelso, who actually went on to work for National Geographic in Washington, D.C. as a cartographer and is now working for the Washington Post, came to us and said, you know, here's this trail. It's practically already there. So he really put it on the radar. And City Manager David Tyson from the City of Eureka hired RCAA to do a feasibility study. And we looked at feasibility of building a trail along the Elk River Spit, really, where Elk River flows into Humboldt Bay. And all the pieces were there. It would be a pretty easy trail to build. So that kind of got the ball rolling. And a few years ago, there was this opportunity through the River Parkways program to get funding for the trail. So we applied with the City of Eureka as partners on this, and we were successful in getting funding. I should also mention that the City of Eureka got some other funding through the Coastal Conservancy and through some PG&E mitigation money to extend the trail further than what the River Parkways funding would have done. So we were going to go from Hilficker Lane down to Pound Road, and the city got this other money to build the trail from Truesdale Avenue, which is like a block south of the mall, to Hilficker Lane. So that adds probably another, I'm not sure the exact distance, but it's maybe a third of a mile or so, maybe even half a mile to the trail. So total trail length is going to be over a mile.
Roughly what kind of money are we talking about for a project like that?
Well, the River Parkways funding is just under $1 million. It's about $980,000. And the other part of it through the PG&E and Coastal Conservancy fundings, adding about another $290,000. So altogether, we're probably around $1.25 million or a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So what else can you tell us about the Hixsari Trail? You've told us where it is and how do you get to it?
The best way to get to it, if you're coming from the south, would be to take the Herrick Avenue exit.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to actually start at the park and ride on the west side of 101.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a big parking area there. And at the north side of that parking area is where the trail is going to take off. And it's going to follow Pound Road, and have to caution people on that piece because there are big trucks coming in and out of Pro Pacific. But there will be a striped crosswalk there.
Okay.
And then people will follow Pound Road until they cross the railroad tracks, and we're going to put in a small bridge to cross a slough channel right there. And then they'll basically be walking along the Elk River estuary. It comes in behind the sewage treatment plant in Eureka, goes through the Elk River Wildlife Area that the city owns, and then it connects in with Hilficker Avenue. From Hilficker Avenue, there's a path that's going to go from there to Truesdale Avenue. So that will be pretty much where we conclude this section of the trail for now.
I know that area is a high point for bird watchers. Any other particular things to note about that section of trail?
It is a really beautiful piece of the Humboldt Bay waterfront. And, you know, just walking along the Elk River estuary, you know, you don't really get to see fish moving up there, but there is a good run of coho.
You know they're there. Yeah.
Yeah, you know that they're there. And occasionally you might even see a sea lion, you know, snapping one up as they're trying to make their way in there. But yeah, bird watching is a big one. You're really close to the entrance of Humboldt Bay there. I know that there's beaches there that were popular with kids that I knew who grew up in Eureka. And that was, you know, the local beach. There's a nice sandy beach down there that they could go to. And it was referred to as Stinky Beach, but not because of the beach itself, but there used to be a slaughterhouse there or a place where they render dead animals, and places since closed down. But anyway, the smell of the dead carcasses would permeate the air. And so people called it Stinky Beach.
Indeed. Are dogs allowed there?
Dogs will be allowed there, yeah. And I can't say that I know if they're on leash or off leash, but yeah, dogs will be allowed, and it'll be a multi-use trail.
And we're talking in the future tense. When do you anticipate that the Hixari Trail is going to be open?
Good question. It'll be open by this winter. We just had the groundbreaking on Saturday. We just started mobilization for it on Monday this week. So they're out there basically setting up the erosion control measures. And one of the first things we need to do is a mitigation, even though this is, it's a public benefit access trail. It does have some impacts on wetlands. And so we had to do about an acre of mitigation. So that's going to be one of the first things we do on the project. And during that phase, we are going to have to restrict access. We can't totally close access off because, the trucks need to go in and out of the sewage treatment plant there. But we are asking that cars stay out of there because we will have a lot of equipment moving in and out of there. There will be big trucks. We've got to move something like 7,000 cubic yards of soil.
Wow.
To create this salt marsh mitigation that we are creating there. We're going to be hauling that to Halverson Park. So these trucks are going to have to be, getting through the city, and they're going to be using Hilfiker Lane. So that'll be a good area to avoid while we're doing the mitigation project. But the mitigation project part of it's only going to take several weeks. And then after that, we'll be actually having Alves Incorporated, who is going to be building the trail for us. We put it out to bid, and they were the successful contractor who's going to do putting down the gravel, compacting it, and then paving it. And then we'll have RCAA laborers putting in the amenities.
So this will be a paved trail.
It will be a paved trail, yep.
So how does this Hixari project and its related bits relate to the larger project we've heard about, the California Coastal Trail?
This is a piece of the California Coastal Trail. I guess about 3 or 4 years ago, the Coastal Conservancy hired RCAA or gave RCAA a grant to do coastal trail planning through Humboldt County and basically looking at all the missing pieces. So we pretty much went from the Mendocino line to the Del Norte line, and we looked at what were the missing pieces, what were the opportunities, the alternatives for filling those gaps, and then what was the low-hanging fruit, what were the high priorities. So out of that came some high priorities. Definitely, there was an opportunity in Eureka for a waterfront trail, not the one that we're currently talking about, but more down by the Warfinger building and in that area. So that was one of the priority projects that got to a pretty high design level. Oryx Levee Trail, too, that was the other high priority project. Those two seemed like they were really high on the list, ready to go. We had some others that were still pursuing the Little River Trail crossing. That's a big one because once we get across Little River, then we've basically connected the Hammond Trail to Scenic Drive, to Patrick's Point Drive, and we can pretty much go up to Patrick's Point State Park. So we've, just by making that one crossing, we've all of a sudden connected a pretty big chunk of the coastal trail in Humboldt County.
Wow. And the larger vision then is to have a trail that goes from the Mexican border to the Oregon border.
Exactly.
Along the coast.
Yeah.
And how close are we collectively as a state to seeing that vision real?
Good question. It's a hugely ambitious project. I think if economic times were better, we'd be a lot closer to realizing that.
Right.
But there are some definite challenges, as you can imagine, with properties along the way, private properties or just, areas that are physically difficult to negotiate.
Sure. The Lost Coast.
Yeah. The Lost Coast is a good example. Yeah. So, yeah, I can't say that I can even really hazard a guess as to how close we are. But definitely, if the economy improved, if we got more bond funding to do these kinds of projects, we would, maybe be on a 10 or 20 year timeline. But if we don't have that funding, then who knows how long it's going to be.
Right. If you're just tuning in, this is the Eco News Report. I'm Scott Greeson, Director of Friends of the Eel River. I'm talking today with Don Allen, who's the Director of the Redwood Community Action Agency's Natural Resources Services Division. And we're talking particularly about trails, hopefully about some other projects as well. Don, one of the things that's just happened Tuesday night is that the Eureka City Council has decided to reallocate some funding to actually develop a waterfront drive trail or a waterfront trail. Can you tell us about that and a little bit about the history of that issue?
Well, this was a vision that was actually put forth by the city in 1997, and they identified a number of projects that would be transportation improvement projects for the city of Eureka. And I don't know the full list of them, but I know that included in those projects was the waterfront drive extension. It was going to go by what everybody calls the Palco Marsh. It was basically going to go from Del Norte Street southward and connect in somewhere around the Bayshore Mall.
And that's the Palco Marsh.
That's the Palco Marsh area, right. There was some concern from the Coastal Commission and the Coastal Conservancy about putting a road through the Palco Marsh and the impact that that might have on sensitive wetlands. And the city finally decided in February of this
year.
When
you say some concern, I think you mean they said no way, no how.
Something to that effect.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So the city finally decided to abandon that project. But there were other projects that were identified in that list of projects in 1997, and a waterfront trail was one of them. Mm-hmm. So the funding was actually designated, and it was just a matter of getting the council, first of all, to approve that. And there's a couple other approvals that they still need. They still need approval from the Humboldt County Association of Governments mm-hmm. and Caltrans and the California Transportation Commission. So there are a few more approvals, but getting council approval, that was the first step. So, you know, we're hopeful that with the council's approval, those other entities will be on board also.
So would this section of trail you're talking about now, running roughly from the Bayshore Mall north, connect up with the Hixari Trail that we were just talking about?
And yeah.
How would it connect with the City of Eureka's waterfront project?
Well, it would connect at Truesdale Avenue. Mm-hmm. That's where the Chevron plant is and the big tanks there.
Right.
And it's right next to a property called Parcel 4.
Right.
Which was an industrial property. It's basically abandoned now. There's some old concrete structures left there, but we just did a feasibility study for alternatives for Parcel 4. Kevin Wright was leading that effort, and a trail through there is definitely a possibility. We've had some meetings with the city and with Audubon Society and Humboldt Baykeeper, other interested parties, and everybody agrees that that would be a great project to move forward. So let's see, I'm trying to think of exactly where it would connect on the north end. There are some other missing pieces in there, but you know, by the time you get to Del Norte Street, you're getting into that area that I was talking about when RCIA did the Coastal Trail Feasibility Study last year, completed that. That's in the area where we would be connecting into that other section of trail that would basically take us like up to the Warfinger Building, and ultimately, hopefully, it would connect in with the boardwalk that the city has built. I've even heard talk of extending it northwards of that. There's some industrial properties along there and some other developments, but it sounds like there's some opportunities to extend that so that eventually that'll connect in with the freshwater slough at the north end of Eureka.
And again, what kind of timeline do you think is realistic for that project?
I think if you're looking at that whole project, you know, you really have to think probably in terms of at least 10 years or something like that. And I could be wrong about that. You know, I don't really have the crystal ball at all. Depends on the funding. You know, I think there's definitely some momentum. So building on that is definitely key.
But again, the Hixari Trail is going to happen this year.
Yes.
It'll be open by winter, and then there's real hope for the waterfront trail to happen sometime in the relatively near term.
Yeah, maybe in the next couple of years. The funding looks like it's there. I'm not sure exactly where the planning stage is. I think, you know, it's probably pretty preliminary, so the city would be doing the planning, and you know, I'm not sure what our involvement will be, but we're always there to help our various partners, including the city and the county. We basically try to step in and help where we're needed. While we're talking about the Hixari Trail and Waterfront Drive, I really do want to thank city staff, especially Miles Slattery and Mike Knight, who have really been key on this effort. I would also have to mention city manager David Tyson and mm-hmm. city planner Lisa Shikaney and city engineers Gary Boughton.
Invariably, when you talk about trails and trail building in Humboldt County, one phrase comes up. It's the Hammond Trail. It's been a huge success. And you talked a little bit about earlier, Don, about the prospect of extending the Hammond Trail across the Little River. Maybe we could start just by talking about how the Hammond Trail became such a big success. Was it always a no-brainer? Was it an easy project to put together?
Definitely, it was not an easy project to put together. There were some hiccups along the way. You know, the original vision, from what I've heard, anyway, because this happened before I even arrived in Humboldt County, went back to a person whose name I don't remember. I've heard the name, but it was a student basically from HSU back in the 70s who suggested it. And Don Tuttle, who used to work for the Natural Resources Division of County Public Works, and Karen Suker, they were definitely supportive, as was John Murray, who was the Director of Public Works. That's when RCAA started getting involved in probably the mid to late 80s. So the county was the lead on the Hammond Trail, and there were definitely some problem areas where landowners were opposed to having that trail go through their front yards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where RCAA got involved, and we've always been pretty good at outreaching to the community and just, you know, going out and talking with landowners and trying to find out what their concerns are, assuaging those concerns where we can. And Sonoma Drone was great at that. I think one of the landowners, she was totally opposed to it, and Sonoma showed up there on a Saturday with his loppers and helped her prune her bushes and just got to know her and just got to talking to her, and he was able to convert her. And another property owner who had lived in Southern Humboldt and was moving up to the family property and wanted to build a house there was having problems getting his coastal development permit, and Sonom talked to him, told him, you know, you've got this issue where people are already using your property for a trail up Widow White Creek. If you want to dedicate an easement for a trail, we can eliminate the traffic that's coming up your driveway right by your house. And if you dedicate that easement, I can guarantee you that the Coastal Commission will look very favorably on your permit. And for a ridiculously low fee, Sonom applied for the coastal development permit for that property owner and with the trail easement as part of it. And the guy got his coastal development permit, and we got the easement for the Widow White Creek Interpretive Trail. Now, there were some glitches with that, too. We were unaware of this at the time, but the local coastal plan actually did not allow trails in riparian zones. You could build a road, but you could not build a trail.
Well.
Yeah. And we already had some funding secured. And, you know, I remember people used to ask us, because we, rather than lose that funding, we decided we would shift it to a part of the trail that we could build.
Right.
And it was the part that runs along Clam Beach between Highway 101 and Clam Beach. And people were seeing us building this trail, but there was no connection on either end of it. And they were wondering, what are you guys doing? And of course, we couldn't explain the whole story. But rather than lose that money, we used it on that section of the trail. And then with the county, we tried to resolve the issues on the local coastal plan. So the county did get the local coastal plan amended. And with that in place and some other changes in ownership, we actually changed the layout of that trail a little bit, and we included a multi-use trail that was parallel to Highway 101. So we had basically two sections of the trail to fill the hole in the Hammond. One was the Widow White Creek Interpretive Trail that connects in with a trail around the Sandpoint subdivision,
right,
and then comes out to the end of Letts Avenue, and then we were able to connect the trail. We basically had to build a mini road parallel to Highway 101 from the south end of Letts Avenue to Murray Road. And with that was really the completion of the hole in the Hammond.
So you mentioned a few lessons in the course of that story, but are there other lessons you'd take from the Hammond Trail story in terms of these other trail projects and how we get them done?
Just that it takes a lot of cooperation. It takes a lot of partnerships. We had so many partnerships on the Hole in the Hammond project, you know, including the McKinleyville Community Services District, the Humboldt County Department of Public Works, the Newhart Community Church, who bought a 5-acre property and gave an easement for a trail through part of their property that made that happen. Yeah, the landowners were a big part of it. And our other partners, you know, the funders, the Coastal Conservancy, the California Conservation Corps, who provided a lot of labor on those projects. And, you know, and then just a lot of dedicated community volunteers that have been helping with trail maintenance since we've built that trail.
Right. So we've been talking a lot about trails, Don, but we should at least mention the Martin Slough project, which looks to be fairly important for Humboldt County's and Humboldt Bay's fisheries, especially the coho salmon.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is a project that's been near and dear to my heart for, 11 years now. You know, I never even knew where Martin Slough was until somebody from the city approached us, and I'm not even sure who that was. It was 11 years ago, and said that they had a problem with flooding on Martin Slough, and they heard that maybe there was opportunities for grant funding that could help alleviate flooding, and they'd heard that Martin Slough had coho salmon in it, and they thought maybe there's a possibility to do a project that could do fish restoration and reduce flooding. So we pulled together a group, including the City of Eureka, RCAA, the company that leases the golf course, their name is Corsco, and then the private landowner who owns 40 acres at the downstream end, the mouth of Martin Slough, and everybody was on board with this concept of implementing a project that would help reduce flooding and would improve fisheries habitat. So we started on the feasibility study, and we got Fish and Game to come out and do some sampling, and found out that over the years that Martin Slough is an incredibly productive habitat for coho salmon. In fact, Mike Wallace from the Department of Fish and Game, who's been doing the sampling out there, has found that the growth rates in Martin Slough juvenile coho are the highest of any of the tributaries around Humboldt Bay. So that was really a surprise. It doesn't look like it would be really good habitat, but the conditions are just right.
It turns out to be a real hotspot. Yeah.
It is totally a hotspot. So that was a big surprise. So to make a long story short, we were able to attract funding. We did a feasibility study in the between 2003 and 2006. That led to other grant applications, and most recently, we've been awarded funding by both the State Water Board to complete designs, but to get designs to the 30% level, and then also for some implementation. And I also recently received a grant from the Department of Fish and Game to complete the designs to 100% level. And from the Department of Water Resources, we received a grant for implementation. So it looks like we've got the design funding in place. So we're at 30% design level right now. And the next year, we're hoping to get to 100% designs and get our CEQA document. And hopefully by 2013 and 2014, we will be implementing that.
Sounds great. That's good news for fish. We were talking before the show about the Salmonid Restoration Federation Coho Confab that's coming to the South Fork Trinity this summer, since we were talking about coho.
Yeah, that's one of my sidelines, as I am the president of the board of the Salmonid Restoration Federation. It will be on the Trinity River at Indian Creek Lodge outside of Weaverville. And there's two events that are back-to-back. There's a Spring Run Chinook Symposium. That's going to be August 16th and 17th, and that's the Thursday, Friday. And then starting Friday evening, we're going to have the Coho Confab, which is co-sponsored by the Trees Foundation. Trees Foundation and SRF have together for a number of years, putting on the Coho Confab. Great event on the Trinity River, Indian Creek Lodge, a really wonderful spot. Great place to spend a weekend. Take your family. There's good fishing. There's good swimming. And there's going to be a really good lineup of speakers and really hands-on workshops, too, where people are going to be getting into the river, looking at fish identification, looking at bugs, and learning more about the Trinity Restoration Program and Spring Run Chinook Salmon, which, you know, and for some people, it's their main fish, like especially the Sierra tributaries and snowmelt systems. Spring Run Chinook were a really important part of the salmon family. So we're trying to raise awareness. This is probably at least the fifth Spring Run Chinook Symposium that we've co-hosted, and we usually try to do it with other organizations. This year, it's pretty much the SRF that's putting it on, but getting help from some of the local government agencies out there, Fish and Wildlife Service and Fish and Game and others, Trinity Restoration Program.
So while we're doing shout-outs, we should also mention some of the other organizations that are working on these trails projects around Humboldt Bay.
Definitely, yeah. Humboldt Trails Council, a really important organization that has sprung up over the last few years, and the trail stewards. That was one of the problems that the county, obviously, you know, they're always, or I shouldn't say always, but in the last few years, we've been having some economic problems, and finding funding for trail maintenance is definitely an issue. So a group like the trail stewards that gets out the first Saturday of the month every month and does trail maintenance, just things like, you know, picking up garbage along the trails, doing weeding, and, you know, just, we know how things are in Humboldt County. They grow so fast that if you left it for even a few months in the spring, it's going to be totally overgrown. So
indeed, yeah.
Trail stewards, definitely want to give a big shout out to them.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the wonderful work that Cliff Berkowitz and the KHUM crew has been doing with their Happy Trails radio broadcasts.
Yeah, that's been really an awesome service that Cliff has done, and it goes back to Jen Rice when she was with RCAA. She's now working with Humboldt Area Foundation. But Jen was really awesome at hiring and mentoring new staff, and Emily Sinkhorn, along with Kevin Wright, too. Emily is the one who's now doing the Happy Trails with Cliff on Tuesday morning. So, yeah, really happy with the new team that we have with Emily and Kevin. And, yeah, we've got some great staff there. And Jen did a great job training them.
She sure did. Where do people look for more information about these issues?
Yeah, for the trail stewards, you can look at the Humboldt Trails Council website, which is humtrails.org. And RCAA also has a website, the Natural Resources Services Division. We have a website. It's www.nrsrcaa.org.
There you go. Well, thanks so much, Don, for coming in and for all your work for trails for the future.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah. So this has been the Eco News Report. My name is Scott Greason. I've been your host for the past half hour. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the Public Affairs page on the KHSU website, khsu.org, where these programs are archived for 2 weeks after they air. And thereafter, you can find them on the North Coast Environmental Center's website at yournec.org. You can find Friends of the Eel River, the organization I work for, at eelriver.org. If you have any questions or comments about this program, you can call KHSU's listener comment line at 826-6089. The Eco News Report is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University, in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Many thanks to Fred McLaughlin for engineering, and happy birthday, Maggie Herbelin. Join us again next Thursday at 1:30 here on KHSU for the Eco News Report.